Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the show. Fletch, Vaughn and Laura, who's in for Megan.
Nothing like starting your day with a good you're saying something wrong. Now, we've not been pronouncing anything incorrectly.
Okay.
A few days ago, we were talking about a prison that kind of functions like a mini society. You might remember.
That's right, you tell me about
in
it.
In Bolivia.
And then we talked about an amazing book called Marching Powder. Now, yep. There's been a message into the Facebook inbox that apparently we're putting the emphasis on the wrong parts of the word.
Hang on, so I would say read the book Marching Powder.
So Jaunty says, this is Jaunty, studied at the Victoria University of Wellington, currently lives in Wellington from Caddy Caddy. That's all I can tell from this Facebook.
So educated. So I'll believe
educated
them.
Educated Jaunty.
Okay. Her. Oh, her, sorry.
Her. Okay. She said, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but the way you're lacking emphasis on the marching and stringing the words together quite quickly is indicating to me that the powder is of a marching persuasion. Marching powder. Say it and listen to yourselves.
Marching powder.
Marching powder.
Okay.
It's powder that marches. Or a step further, a special powder that would aid you in a march. It's killing my soul. I believe the title to be a physical act of marching drugs across the border. So you really need to hit that marching powder.
Marching powder.
Marching powder.
Actually, a lot of people followed up after that conversation asking what that book was called.
That's great. The book.
Fantastic book.
Yeah.
Actual physical paper book?
I have to read an actual physical paper book.
Really?
Can't do that. I'm old school.
You're right. You like to feel there. You like to feel the ink between the fingers.
Brilliant.
So marching powder.
And that's the extent of the complaints we get here on the show.
She sent that at 11:19 yesterday.
Okay.
So after the show finished.
Okay.
But I'm just reading it now. And at 11:21 writes, I almost instantly regret sending this.
You've given us
she's
a title for the show.
She's
but
honest.
I totally get what you mean. I've never really thought about the title. But it is. He was marching powder.
Oh, okay. Look,
marching.
Really,
you know, almost a half a pause there, Jaunty.
What
and
about,
then powder.
What about Syria, guys?
Syria. You're putting the emphasis on the wrong part of it there.
There are bigger things happening. Today on the show, Community Notices return. A couple of special guests in studio. Producer Caitlin, you're a fan of the new one on Shortland Street, aren't you?
Yes.
Dr.
Lover.
The Love Doctors.
Yeah. Because Michael Galvin is pretty, he's a good looking man as well.
He's timeless.
And back in his day, I was a bit young,
You would have been 2 years old when he first graced our televisions.
Yeah, so, yeah. You don't really.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
I've found three news headlines from around the world, stories from around the world. You've got to pick one. Headline one, plane passenger impounds jet. Headline two, glide board escape fail. And headline three, marathon runner makes midway burrito stop.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's what every marathon runner needs is a burrito.
It's heavy.
It's heavy, though. I don't know how you could, be mid-run and do that. Mm. Too much food.
The stitch you'd get.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ran a marathon once 7 years ago. It entitles me to have an opinion on all things marathon.
Okay.
I don't know. Even after you finish the marathon, you don't feel like eating. I didn't feel like eating for hours. You're just too physically exhausted.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to do yours?
3.5 hours.
Geez, that's pretty. That's not bad.
Yeah, no, it was a real little honked along.
So you guys
took a poo.
During
about the 32, 33 mark. You know when they say you hit the wall?
Yep.
I hit the wall just by toilets. Needed to go to the toilet. It was just the rejuvenating. Stop, I need it.
I think how much time you'd have shaved off if you hadn't stopped for a poo.
I know, but I probably would have shit myself, so you got to weigh these things up. Sub 3:30 and shit yourself or come in with a clean pants with slightly over 3.5.
Do you want that watermarked photo of you downloaded from the website with marathonphotos.com and you've got shit down your legs?
Yeah. No, that's fair.
No one's ever paying for the full marathon photo. Everyone's just finding the watermarked one and putting it as their Facebook profile.
Of course they are. So Well, we're ruling out the burrito stop.
Yeah, let's rule out the burrito. Can you read me number one again, please?
Plane passenger impounds jet.
That one.
What was number three?
The burrito.
Was number two?
Number two was the glide board escape fail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with number one. I'd love to know how that was impounded.
We go overseas and Europe. And in fact, Vaughn and I know this for a fact, that when you are delayed on a flight that is within Europe, you are entitled to compensation.
Yeah, that's right.
And there is a table of hours delayed, and it goes up and up and up the more you're delayed. So we were flying, I think it was through KLM, and they made it really hard to get your money back. It was only about a couple of hundred bucks each, but I think it was delayed, like, what, 4 or 6 hours?
Yeah.
But it was sweet.
What, you had to jump through hoops to get that money back. It was like, you're entitled to compensation. We're like, yes. And then you couldn't apply for it till you got home. You had to go to your local
office,
KLM office, to get a stamp to then send something overseas. Fletch took care of it because otherwise I just would have been CBF.
Oh, like, I was like a dog with a bone. I was like, we are entitled to this money.
He was like Kevin Milne in his heyday on Fair Go. He wasn't letting go until he had a solution.
Anyway, a German vacationer was flying Thomas Cook Airlines, a flight from Vienna to Vienna in Austria to the Caribbean. It took off 22 hours late, so she was entitled to $680, so about 1,000 New Zealand dollars.
Yeah.
So you'd want that money, right?
You would.
Yeah.
It's your money. You're entitled to it. It's taken her 4 years.
Oh, my God.
To get this money back, and it got to the point where she went to court, and a judge impounded the plane until she got her money from the airline.
Oh, my God.
The judge let the plane being pounded under her name so that she could get the money back. And she's got the money back because a court order secured
that
money.
What airline was it with?
Thomas Cook Airlines. They're like a big, like, kind of a vacation airline in the UK, out of the UK.
Huh.
In Europe.
He impounded a jet. What, did they clamp one of those wheel things on it, like when you park at Kmart and then go to another shop?
Yes. So just like that.
It was under her name. They didn't drop it off on a backyard or anything.
Yeah.
Well, no, he just did it at the airport.
It stayed there. Yeah. They didn't just wheel it up there.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
I was doing some reading because I've noticed that, I was going to say, you guys have been really grumpy. It's actually me.
I've been really pleasant this week, haven't I?
He has actually been quite pleasant.
Thank you.
I think you're lovely to spend time with this early in the morning.
You've got an excuse, though. You did reply to a group chat last night at like 11:47 when I'd been asleep for the better part of 2 hours already.
It's a busy night at the Auckland Cricket Awards, base.
Yeah.
You know.
Auckland Cricket Awards. So they have specifically
local cricket awards, which was great.
Vaughan's mind's blown.
Did you not know that they did that?
Of course they do.
I think it was the same.
How many people play cricket in Auckland? Sure, everybody got an award, right?
Like a lot.
11 people. Well, that's
and did you know
team.
Since the Cricket World Cup, 16% has gone up.
Increased by 16%.
That's great.
That's how many more people are playing cricket. So you could get that pool shot back if you so choose.
I could reinstigate the Wilson pool shot.
A late night for you.
A late night for me. But you know how this week we've been saying, gosh, it feels a lot later than it is.
Well, it's daylight savings this week.
But it's actually a diagnosable thing now.
Right.
I was reading an article yesterday about how it being darker and the weather changing, it can really, really affect your mood. It is that they have said that it's a diagnosable disease that your mood is affected
right. So you've got
by the dark and the weather.
And it's better for you to wake up when it's light.
It is better for you to wake up when it's light because the light turns off the melatonin or suppresses the melatonin that is in your body that helps you sleep at night.
Right.
So you actually need to wake up, flick on a switch, and then open your eyes.
Straight away, turn on a light.
So
you better, if you lived alone, your alarm clock would best be a light.
Yes.
Can you get alarm clocks that are lights?
Sure. If someone hasn't invented one, it's not like the hardest thing to invent.
Clock radios or something. Yeah. That's what they normally are, but they don't have a light.
Yeah. They could definitely do a light.
I mean, most people have a lamp or a light switch by their bed, so
you can
just
flick it on.
So that's the key, you think.
But you're already awake if you're flicking on a light.
You know, it wakes your body up.
But then that makes sense, right? Because for tens of thousands of years, during our evolving into what we are, we would have only ever woken up by the sun.
Yeah.
Like, because humans did all their stuff during the day, all their hunting and everything, we weren't really night creatures. That's why we can't see in the dark.
Do you think now, though, because we're all on our cell phones, the first thing we do is flick on our phone?
Yes.
To check out.
Definitely.
That's like the brightest light in your face. So that's like waking us up, you know? Like, quite well, do you think?
Right.
Well, they say that this kind of light is actually not brilliant, the light on your device.
So you need the natural.
Well, that's if you're going to bed, though.
But then you're waking up at 4, 5, 6 in the morning. You're not going to get natural light, are you, in winter?
But daylight saving, you can get, if you get up a little bit of, like, 6, 7 o'clock, isn't it light then?
Oh, only for, like, this week.
Yeah.
And the height of summer is the sun comes up.
Yeah. So, really, the science is out the window, isn't it, Laura?
Lights, not your phone light. A light is good.
Okay.
Or wake up and turn on your phone's flashlight and just glare into it for 30 to 40 seconds.
Put it on strobe.
Yeah.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
ZM.
When it comes to online scams, in fact, there was even a story on the news here in New Zealand last night about a lovely old lady that gave $100,000
I couldn't believe
to a man overseas. And do you know what? It was a long con. A year long, this guy was saying all the right things to this woman.
You'd if you were a con artist, if you thought $100,000 was at the end of the hallway, you'd play the long scam, though.
Well, you think about it. 100 grand for 1 year's work.
Yeah, tax-free.
I still don't know how they get
the money. Imagine if you were filling out your tax form and you said, you know, $100,000, I scammed someone into that. I don't know what the withholding tax code is on that. SC for
accountants
scam.
Are loving this withholding tax banter.
Anyone who's ever filled out one of those annoying forms.
Talking about withholding tax.
What's the difference between an M and the other one? Have you got a student loan?
SM.
SM, student, mem, M, and yeah.
Well, so, you know, and New Zealanders losing millions of dollars to online scams, and you'd think it would be mostly older people. Because that's kind of what you hear in the news, isn't it?
Yes.
But a recent study has found it's actually millennials and people aged 18 to 34.
Is that because they're online more than older people?
Well, apparently recent studies have shown they are most vulnerable to losing money from a phone scam. Again, I don't know how people are...
Well, I got a phone call from an 0008899111, blah, 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 blah. It was like 100 numbers.
Yeah.
And I answered it and I go, hello. And it goes, my angel. My angel.
Was it Shaggy?
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, was my darling angel.
He rings back 2 weeks later.
It wasn't me.
Did you take all my money?
It wasn't me.
Did you do it on the counter?
It wasn't me.
Did you? Play a silver.
But what did he say?
My angel. He just kept saying, my angel, I love you. And then I'd go, what? What? And then I'd hang up and then he'd ring back.
Yeah.
And then the next day he'd ring back.
Yeah.
And the next day he'd ring
Angel,
back.
Angel, I'm calling from Microsoft.
That's a classic at the moment, by the way. Don't call you.
But I was thinking, you know, if you were a lonely woman.
Yeah.
Someone rang up and started calling you my angel and started telling you how much she loved you. You know, some people might
be. And that's how it starts. And then all of a sudden
my angel.
You've got to give your baby angel a couple of $100 and they've got you, haven't they?
They have. Well, and then because of my voicemail, it said, this is Laura's phone. Laura, my angel.
Oh, no.
The calls got progressively worse.
So apparently 17% of women and 35% of men said they'd been victimized and had been the target of a phone scam. That compares to 11% of all Americans who lost money in a phone scam in the previous 12 months. So it's actually younger people.
It's surprising.
Because you've all got some people like, you know, our age and younger that have fallen for the online scams.
Yeah.
You know, fake internet.
But everyone's got a stupid friend, don't they?
Is there millennials, is it like a circle? The millennials didn't have the phone scams growing up, but older people might have been more familiar with the phone when it became...
Maybe.
The go-to technology, and there were the scams, there was all the stories about it, but we haven't had those stories for so long. That the millennials don't know about phone scams. They're very clued up on internet scams.
Right. Actually, that's probably a very good point.
Or are millennials just the dumbest generation yet?
I don't know.
Listen to Talkback. They'll tell you. They'll tell you we're a terrible bunch
of stupid
bastards.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we're actually okay.
We're great. We're old.
And they don't know how to connect to the Wi-Fi without us. Yeah. So don't let them badmouth you.
Yeah.
Next time
they need help setting up the computer.
They're like, oh, whose is the worst generation ever? Is it ours, is it? Because good luck printing that A4 document, mother. Good luck.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
If you've ever stayed in a motel or hotel, you've probably wondered how thoroughly cleaned it was between the last person staying in it and you staying in it. And how thoroughly clean it's going to be after you leave because you've left a bit of a mess.
When you think about it, it really doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
No.
Motels or even the cleanest hotels because it's still the same pillow. It's just a different pillowcase.
Yeah.
Like, think about that.
It's a lot of slobber.
And think about how many people have slept on that bed before you.
Yeah, lots of people.
Lots of people.
If the sheets have been changed, there's a barrier. There's a buffer.
Yeah,
there's a buffer
completely.
You want to go to... I had... a Thailand experience with dirty sheets and a ciggy hole in the sheets.
I've had that.
Like, I think it's important every now and then to go to Bangkok and think you're getting the deal of the century on a central Bangkok location, and it's disgusting, and it makes you appreciate when there's not a ciggy hole burnt in the sheets.
And the cockroaches are so much bigger over there, right?
They are. It's the tropical heat.
Yeah, but when one's crawling out of your sheets in a hotel, it doesn't bear thinking about.
No. So somebody posted on Reddit, they were staying in a hotel and they heard a crinkle when they got into the bed.
Yeah.
And they pulled the sheet back and they found a note that said, if you're reading this, then housekeeping did not change your sheets. The warning was written on the paper, and they took the photo of the note exactly where they found it, because that was the thing. The person who stayed in previously just slipped it under the sheets and put the sheet back down so housekeeping could just come in, and if they didn't change the sheets, just flip them straight and pull them up.
That's quite quite sneaky, because they would have had to make the bed perfectly. Like they'd never slept in it, surely, for housekeeping to be fooled by that.
No, they would have just needed to do the undersheet right.
Right.
And then the housekeeping would have just pulled the over one tight, tucked it in. They still would have, the housekeeping still would have made the bed. They just wouldn't have changed the sheets.
Got rid of the body impression on the
bottom
sheet.
Oh, no.
You know when you do that?
Yeah.
But then what if it's one of those situations like...
Rub your hands on it.
Have you ever had a hotel room or a motel room and it's got two beds in there but you only use one?
Yeah.
I always still like to like muck up the other bed. I jump on it.
I always put my suitcase on it and then just give it a real. Sometimes I'll pull the duvet. They often have two duvets on the other bed.
I steal all the pillows.
Extra pillows. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking now, you've really got to. I always leave the hotel room in a state where it will need a clean. Not dirty clean, but things are messy, like
towels everywhere.
Yeah, towels on the ground.
Yep.
It's so inconsiderate. I'll always put my towels in a bunch and all my rubbish in the bin.
Oh, my God. Do you sometimes put your towels in the bathtub?
Sometimes, if they say put them in the bathtub, yeah.
What is that? What do you put your towels in the bathtub for?
I don't know.
Don't you hang them? That means that you're an eco-friendly, conscientious...
Now, what's that all about? No, I don't do that.
It's a lie.
Because they don't want to have to wash the towels.
Because they want to save money.
They've got the green thing on the door, you're like... Sucked in.
The sign really should say, hang your towels up. You're only here for one night. It's not like you need fresh towels tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what it really should
Whereas
say.
Whereas I'm going, I'm not washing these towels, so I'd love some clean towels
tomorrow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm living in the lap of luxury like the Queen of England. I'll have fresh towels every single day.
I found a pube in a hotel bed once. Pulled back the sheets and there was a pube and I was like,
that's great.
And you knew it was a pube, unless it was from someone with really curly, wiry
hair.
Was
it the pube equivalent of a pillow, a mint on the pillow, though? Was it like a good night pube?
they turned down your bed, they plucked out a couple,
and they sprinkled them lightly on your bed?
I don't think so.
Oh, God. I've found a pube on the toilet underneath the seal seat. You know, when they clean the toilet, they put the paper seal on it, saying this has been cleaned. And I lifted it up, and there was one on the seat. I was like, not cleaned well enough. We were wondering this morning if you've ever found something that probably should have been cleaned at the hotel when you went to stay there.
Right. The grossest thing
I'm just imagining if you took a black light to a hotel room.
Oh, don't do it. Because
it should have been cleaned like before you got into the room. You arrive.
Yeah.
And there should have been a clean between the last guest and the new guest, so it was something that was left behind.
All right, well, 0800-DIAL-ZM, you can text 9696. What was the grossest thing you found in your room at a hotel or a motel? We're not counting backpackers because that's just what you expect. You're expecting
that. You're lucky if they run a broom around a backpacker's room and you're sharing a room with like six other people, so chances are one of them's getting off on watching you dealing with that gross situation. Some text messages in on what you found. The bath towel was folded on the towel rail. So it was folded. You know, because you know they don't hang it over a towel rail, fold it in half long ways and hang it over. They hang it and fold it and fold it again and wedge it in. And after the shower, I pulled it off and flicked it and a hard poo came out.
Oh, my God.
So it's like somebody did that and then folded it again and put it back. So housekeeping were like, well, they didn't use that towel. We'll just leave it there.
But they'd hidden a poo in it.
That's so disgusting.
I know. And I don't want this to be any sort of gathering ideas for sickos listening who have got a hotel stay coming up.
No, I mean... It's one thing to set the alarm for 4 a.m.
Yes,
for
that's great. And then turn it on to a really loud radio station.
But to put a nuggie in for another guest, that's next level disgusting.
Don't leave it. Someone said, I once stayed, and I've never heard of these, on the side of motorways in Australia, there's Formula One hotels.
They're like budget chain motels.
Yeah, you can just call in and stay. I got in, felt something in my feet, panicked because I'm in Australia. I'm like, it's a bloody snake.
Yeah.
And it was somebody's pantyhose with a cucumber inside.
Oh.
Why would you put a cucumber in your pantyhose?
Doesn't matter.
We'll talk about it another day.
Why would they be talking about a cucumber in the pantyhose?
No.
We were in Thailand. We were staying in a bungalow-type hotel. We found two pairs of undies with sand in them.
Okay.
In the bathroom when we first got there.
Oh.
And somebody else said much the same thing. They were in Tonga and they found skitty undies hanging in over the shower rail.
Like maybe they cleaned, but they didn't look up. Because you don't look up. You don't look up. You're cleaning, you're mostly looking down.
Leanne, the grossest thing you found in a motel hotel?
Oh, look, it was a really nice motel, or, well, four-bedroom or three-bedroom apartment in Tauranga.
Okay.
And I was in the bath and my four-year-old was running around going, look what I found, look what I found. It's great. Look, it sticks on the wall. It was a dildo.
It sticks on the wall.
You're like one of those sticky hand things. Those,
oh, my God.
No, it was a real little handheld one, and it was in the TV cabinet.
But how did it stick to the wall? Did it have a suction cup on the end?
Well, it had flat bottom, but I didn't touch it after that.
No.
I think
it wasn't supposed to stick to the wall.
You need some sanitizer after that.
Oh, yeah, my God. I'd probably
My husband's like, oh, my God, wash your hands. Put it down. Get rid of it.
I'd probably set the whole place on fire just to be gone with
to sterilize it. What did the motel say? Did you bring it up with them?
Well, I did because my mother said, well, oh, we can just chuck it in the rubbish. I said, well, if they find it in the rubbish, they might think it's ours.
Yeah. These people have already hired a three-bedroom apartment and now they're throwing out a perfectly good adult fun to it. Talk about wealthy.
Maisie, hey, thanks you call, Leanne.
Okay, thanks.
Dave.
My cousin's just recently come over from Australia and she cleans hotel rooms. And funny enough, we asked that question, what's the worst thing she found? And she said she found a used condom in the jug.
In the jug?
That is so feral.
And I know, it's absolutely disgusting. But the worst thing was, is the lady that found it was actually had a newborn child and had to heat the jug for the bottle and noticed a bad smell and then investigated and then found it to her shock.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Awful. That is disgusting. What is wrong with people?
I'm just going to write this off as something that only ever happened in Australia.
Yeah, it's definitely an Australian thing,
totally
isn't it?
Australia.
I'd say. Hey, thanks, Dave.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. It doesn't get any grosser than that.
That's your Everest. Yeah. That's your Everest.
So probably if we can learn anything from this, it's thoroughly check your hotel or your motel.
I was more thinking we've learned, ask them to clean properly more than you shouldn't have to check your jug for that sort of thing. Or a poo in your towel.
No, I think it comes down to other people. Really?
Oh, right. I see you. Actually, that's
like,
very true.
Don't be a scummy mongrel.
Yeah.
And don't be a scummy mongrel.
Don't be a gross, nuggies in towels. And
poo in the toilet.
Exactly.
Poo in the toilet.
Like normal life lesson.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
We're joined in studio by two television doctors, not real doctors. Although if you're on a plane and the person was like, is there a doctor on board? Has that ever happened to you, Michael Galvin?
No,
you've been Chris Warner for years.
No, it's never happened.
Because people in New Zealand would definitely be like, you should put your hand up. You should go and help.
Maybe if they wanted some cosmetic surgery or something.
Right, yeah.
Emergency cosmetic surgery.
Nip and tuck that. Michael Galvin and Lucas Whiting. I forgot.
Whiting.
Went down this fantasy fairy tale land of you being on an aeroplane as Dr. Chris Warner and I got completely lost.
So, Lucas, you've just joined the show, but you've come from Australia, Australian?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, from Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how are you liking New Zealand life so far?
I'm loving it so far. Yeah, it's been pretty nice. Auckland's pretty much the exact same as Sydney, just smaller with less people. So it's been good so far.
And better.
And better, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Right, so it is quite similar because it's a harbour city. There's a big bridge.
Yeah.
The westy part's like really bogan. So
same as Sydney, yeah.
Very similar.
But I'm away from home. It's much colder.
Except,
and it's going to get worse.
Except we don't have a beach called Bondi full of Australians like you guys do, full of New Zealanders. So,
exactly.
As well. So on the show, you are Chris Warner's son.
Yes, I am.
Now, how does this get? You were the result of a sperm donation to the original robo-nurse,
Carrie Burton.
Yeah, that's correct.
I
did the famous words, you're not in Guatemala now, Dr. Ropart.
That's the one.
Wow.
Yeah.
She hasn't been on the show for how long?
Well, I don't know. How old are you?
23, so what,
24 years, yeah.
How many children do you have now?
Well, I think we've stopped counting at six, kind of like my marriages, really.
Yeah.
Kind of like one for each. But yeah because there's the three triplets that we've just kind of been reminded of. And then there's Trinity over in Sydney, which is Grace Kwan's daughter. And there's, of course, good old Harry. And The other one, Phoenix.
Running out of fingers.
It like that. Let's just call them numbers. Numbers
I love
one to six.
Any soaps, like Home and Away is a classic as well, when they haven't thought about how an old character would be affected by a new storyline, so someone will just mention them in passing. Oh, if only Phoenix was here. Anyway, that's rounded off enough about him for about six more months.
It's lucky you're a plastic surgeon, because how much would your child support payments be?
They'd be a lot. Yeah, Chris Warner's very rich, thank goodness. So
there's
a lot of... No, but the thing about the triplets is that Chris was never going to have anything to do with them. That was the deal with Carrie.
Right.
She just wanted sperm donors, and of course, Chris had the best sperm.
Yeah.
So,
so
he
very,
won.
Very
no, there was a... There was a
stats speak for
there was
itself.
There was a competition. There was a competition among the doctors as to who would be the sperm donor, and Chris won it. I can't remember who the other doctors were at the time.
Wasn't Steve the nurse one of the participants
in
that
sure
as well?
I'm sure he was, yes. Yes, Steve the nurse.
I remember Steve, Steve the nurse.
It was never just Steve, it was Steve the nurse.
It was like Steve the nurse.
Yeah.
Blew apart stereotypes of male nurses.
Yeah.
But he was this was exactly, because this was 20, a lot years ago.
He was in love with Robo Nurse. I mean, I didn't buy that Shortland Street magazine that ran for a short time in the 90s.
I didn't
have the pull-out posters or anything. Really familiar with it.
You were on my wall for a long time.
You were such a half-drobe. You had a couple of those posters that were like unfolded and unfolded again. So you were like four times the size of the page.
You know what? I never did. I wish that I did, and I'd like to now pretend that I did, but I never did.
You never got
the four out. I got the two fold out, but never the four.
Never the four.
No. Martin Henderson, Angie Dodgson, not little Michael Galvin. No, no. He only goes to the two. He only goes to the two.
Went for the single out
to the
fold.
Four. Angela Bloomfield, she got the big one.
But I slip and slide. I had a slip and slide in Hamilton that was Angela Bloomfield's face.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
It was this Shortland Street billboard from Hamilton, and we knew the guys that did the billboard company, and apparently the material wasn't reusable.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it would make a great slip and slide as a joke. But it was. It made a great slip and slide. And
okay.
It was great. We got the part of the billboard that was Angela Bloomfield's face.
Brilliant. Oh, okay. I'm going to stop this conversation here and not ask you if you went down at naked and things like that. You
know. Always clothed. Out of respect.
That'll be fun to interview Angela Bloomfield next time, won't it? Knowing that bit of info. So what can we expect on Shortland Street? What can you allude to or tease?
Well... So Finn's kind of made his way into the Warner family. At this stage, he's still doing all right. It's a bit of a shock for everyone, I think, but he's doing all right. I think his main obstacle at the moment is getting on side of Rachel.
Yeah.
So obviously Chris is kind of, you know, quite open to the idea of having his sixth child. Keep him coming. But Rachel is probably going to be the one that's, you know, a bit, as you can imagine, a bit.
The thing is, Finn has the Warner genes. So in spite of himself, he's causing a bit of trouble with the
ladies. I'd love to see Finn dies, but it's not done for you, Lucas. You come back as Frank,
the twin.
And you've got seven.
He
dies and you come back as Sarah. Your very own sister.
How good would that be? What a career I'd have.
I know.
Been going for 30 years.
Because quite a few people have played their own twins. I know Tom Hardy did it recently in that movie, Legends.
Well, Mark Ferguson did it on Shortland Street.
He did.
He was Darryl Nielsen, and then he played the...
Nice Darryl Nielsen?
Nice twin or something. Unless he was the nice one first and then he came back and Darryl Nielsen was the one. Okay, okay. Because he did play two twins.
Yes.
Wow.
I reckon go for the first person playing their own triplets.
Well, we decided that seeing as we have you in and you are the love doctors, we'd put this to the test and we'd get people to call up now with their love questions, relationship advice.
Sure.
And we'll put you to the test. We're going to start this morning with Charlotte. Good morning, Charlotte.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
I'm
so excited.
Okay. Hi, Charlotte.
Morning.
Okay, now, Charlotte, what is your love problem for the love doctors?
Okay, love doctors. It's a little bit complicated. Now, I have this friend who we've been friends for a long time. In fact, we started out flatmates, bookies, I know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, we decided that it would be a great idea to be friends with benefits, and that's been going superb, you know.
Okay.
And then I'm actually just starting to develop some feelings.
Right.
And I don't know what to do.
Okay. Ooh. Right. Just, okay.
Please help.
Open conversation. Just tell them. surely. Isn't that...
Isn't that what people do?
And call me old-fashioned.
Call me old-fashioned, but you should talk.
Just have a nice, you know, open conversation. I mean, clearly, you have an open relationship in other ways.
The alternative to that.
Here we go.
Here he comes.
Yeah. That's the old school. No, I don't, just sneak into his bed one night and just say what's up. Just see if he takes it, see if he leaves it.
But that's what they are doing.
They are doing that. We agreed that it was no feelings, but she's starting to get feelings.
Yeah, we had an open conversation and it was very like, hey, this is what I want, this is what I want, let's go for it.
Yep.
And that's been working for about a good 12 months. And now I don't know, maybe when we're out, we just have such a good time together. And
Because that sounds like you're going out, right?
And you're the plot of the Mila Kunis, Justin Timberlake film, Friends
with Benefits. Yeah. It's not you,
and that's
is
got
it?
A
your
happy
friend
ending,
is
right?
Mila Kunis.
Yeah,
it
worked out
yeah.
okay for them.
Are you Mila Kunis? so you think, Michael, there should be a conversation to lock him in?
Lock him in. Just tell him how you feel. No, don't try to do that.
Literally lock him in.
Scare him away. Yeah. But just tell
grab the handcuffs and lock him in.
He may well be thinking the same thing, you know.
Yeah. Tie him up. Well, put him in your basement and smash his ankles, like on that movie with Kathy Bates.
Oh, what's it called?
That Stephen King movie.
Yes.
What is that movie called?
What's it called?
That's how to get someone to love you. Yes, keep them prisoner.
Right, okay. All right. Have we helped you at all, Charlotte? Have the love doctors helped at all?
I guess.
We haven't,
really.
Have we?
Not really.
No. I'd want to know. If it was me, I'd want to know. If I was that guy.
Okay, I shall sit him down and we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. Just say, but the great just thing say, about this, Charlotte, like an unhelpful trip to the real doctors, it's only cost you $78. So we'll send you the bill.
Good luck.
Yeah good
Thank
luck.
You very much.
Good luck. Just say Chris Warner said we should be boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay. I'll lead with that.
Yeah, that's going to win anyone over. What's Shortest Street? Point to them and be like, oh, that guy said we should be in a relationship because it's factual.
Exactly.
By that way, that movie we were talking about is called Misery.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes. Oh, someone texted me. Someone texted me saying such a good one.
Excellent. Misery.
Some further conference with listeners who have some questions.
Correspondence.
Yeah, conference. My partner doesn't get on with my mum. Oh. Who do I choose? Mum.
Oh, that's tough.
Oh. Who gives the best birthday presents?
I tell you, who gives the birthday presents.
I feel that mum will always stick by you, right?
Yeah.
She should, anyway.
Yeah. It's kind of part
of
it.
So go with the partner now and then. Mum will always. Mum will always kind of be there.
Yeah, mum's not going anywhere.
Mum's not going anywhere. She'll always. Unconditional love, right? That's what mums do.
They have to forgive you. I just found out my boyfriend's still talking to his ex.
Well, it's just talking. That's all right. Sure.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Well, actually, it's Chris Warner. Of course it's
Are you going to listen to the man with seven kids?
And seven ex-wives.
Seven ex-wives, yeah. One of which just turned up after 20-something years. Yeah. And finally, somebody said, my boyfriend of 5 years had just told me he kissed someone else a couple of weeks ago. He was drunk, didn't mean anything, was very quick, full of regret.
If he's full of regret, it means it meant something, right? Kind of. Five years.
Oh, really?
That's a spicy
are you bad?
Okay.
Okay. Something to ponder.
I think the fact that he fessed up to it, unless there were heaps of witnesses and he would have gotten in trouble for it anyway.
Right.
I think the fact that he fessed up to it is a good sign. And he is.
Yeah, he's not hiding it.
He wants to move
hiding it. Yeah. And he was drunk and he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Again. It's hard to take you seriously, Michael. I know you're not Chris Warner. I know you're not, but I can just imagine you telling someone this and then next week you're sleeping with Grace Korn again.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much to our love doctors.
Hey.
Thank you.
Glitch, Vaughn and Megan.
This morning, Community Notices are back. We take a look at the bizarre world of Facebook posts in your community groups. Hey, speaking of Facebook.
Brilliant segue.
Thank you very much. Caitlin just showed me this. And credit where credit's due. Caitlin discovered this. I don't know, where did you discover this from, Caitlin?
It was online somewhere, wasn't
it? Well, Zooey Deschanel has a website.
Okay, that'll do. Okay.
We don't need to know about Zooey Deschanel's website, Caitlin.
Yeah.
She's got a website because she's a celebrity and people will go there.
Yeah.
Great.
I bet she does F all work on it.
She's got assistants, Caitlin, that do all of that.
Yeah,
she's
probably.
Too busy doing TV shows.
So you go like this. You get your phone and you open up your Messenger app. This is your Facebook Messenger app.
This is a little hack.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
This is a little Messenger. Because you might be aware that there's an others folder in your Facebook. Yeah, because quite often you'll get others' messages.
Others, you might ever see it every now and then. You'll be like, what is that little form? And you'll click on it and four messages have come in that you've never seen because they're from people with no connections.
Yeah, when you have no mutual friends, it goes into that folder.
Yeah. So this is further hidden messages from people that...
What?
I don't know, that Facebook don't even deem valuable enough for you to see the message of.
So there's another... It's like a spam folder or something.
It's like a deeper, more hidden others' messages.
This
so
is weird.
On
okay.
your on so, your Messenger app.
So this is how to find it.
Yes.
Okay.
On your Messenger app.
Yep.
Now, I can't speak for Samsungs or Androids.
Oh, Samsungs. But I'm sure they have similar settings.
If you guys are so great, why don't you do this in the shower because all your phones are waterproof all of a sudden. So you go into Messenger and you click on settings. That's in the lower right-hand corner.
Yep. Yep.
And then it should say like your name and notifications and then people. Click on people.
I've done that.
Then up the top of that bit, it'll say message requests.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Click on that. Yep.
Now that should come up. It'll say open a request to get more info.
I've got a few on that.
Wow. Click that blue thing that says see filtered requests.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. There's actually like probably... Oh, some of those are...
One of mine dates back to 2013. I feel bad, Finn called
it. My God.
I never saw it.
Oh,
so
I've gone right back to 2012. People must think I am a bitch.
I know.
It's crazy. You've got all these ones. I'm just reading some of them. I'm just like, okay.
I know. I wonder why we lost you. Is there some nude pics in there or something?
No,
some
like,
just some straight up.
Like messages from people that are like, don't have a profile anymore. So they're just called Facebook user.
Oh, really? I don't have any of those. Who got rid of their Facebook? What are they hiding?
Exactly. Wow, that's interesting.
What did they want?
But why? I don't get why Facebook would do that. Like, just put them all in the one folder. Don't hide another folder.
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll get it like a little step-by-step how to do that at cinemonline.com.
Oh.
So shocked
Do I sync my contacts or does that just give Mark Zuckerberg access to everything?
Yeah, I'll get all your texts and stuff right. probably.
Hands off, Zuck.
All right, Spies next with Laura.
We should just read the messages.
We actually could.
Have you guys got some saucy ones?
Oh, my God.
Fledge, Vaughn and Megan.
So I'm feeding Ross Boss's cat for the next couple of days.
Okay.
His wife's headed away with their baby and Ross is away with work.
Yep.
And I'm the closest. So
it falls
duty
on you.
Falls on me. I wouldn't be asked if there were other people within a closer proximity. I wouldn't be asked because I'm not a huge cat fan.
What about when I go away and I get my cat in 10 days?
No.
By the way, I downloaded an app. How many days until my cat?
Oh my God.
No, not 10 days. 10 weeks.
Oh, well, don't say days.
No, it says it in days. The app is a countdown app. It's brilliant.
I love countdown
How many
apps.
Days?
So that
well, that's like 70 something then.
Well, I've got to go in. Hang on, because something else is 60 days, 16 hours and 17 minutes. It counts down the minutes too. It's pretty cute.
But how you can't be, that can't be.
It's annoying.
You don't know exactly what time that cat's arriving.
Oh, it's an estimate, Vaughn. As I get a closer date,
you should be able to take minutes out of the equation unless you're sure of an exact time.
You're ruining the moment.
I've just said
lunchtime.
What's
happening here.
So I'm feeding Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
Went and fed Forrest Whitaker yesterday.
Did you pass that while you were there?
Well, I didn't really want to, but it jumped like. I was like, hi. I went, hi. And because I took my daughter, she was all about it. There was 10,000 questions about why we were in somebody else's house that she'd never been to before and what's this cat's name.
Good questions then.
What's wrong with its eye and why is it always meowing and why is it jumping into the pats? Is it one of those cats?
I was like, oh, it's a great cat.
I was like, hi. Yeah. Waved at it and it like bounced into my hand. I was no, you've crossed boundaries now.
No,
if I do that. If I do that to people, they think it's weird. So there's no way you should be able to get away with it. But. The thing I noticed when I immediately walked in and I sent a photo to Ross, I'm like, please explain yourself because we're very similar. We're both cynical men, but his weak point is his cat.
Yep.
He's got this thing set up because I walked in and I heard running water. I was like, the stupid bastards have left a tap on. They've been away for days. This is so wasteful. That was exactly my high-pitched voice I get when it comes to... I'm big on water conservation.
I know you are.
So... it wasn't a tap running. It was this ridiculous thing that pumps the water around.
It's a cat water fountain.
Yeah.
It
constantly moves the water so you can leave them for a while and the water doesn't go grimy,
right.
apparently. And Forrest, a cat that was found on the streets of Dubai, let's not forget, it was probably going to die in the next few days if they hadn't stepped in when they did, will not drink water if it's not running.
It's not a still water, it's a sparkling water.
It's not even a sparkling, moving. It's a running water.
I've got to be honest here. I have one of those. And sometimes in the summer, I put ice cubes in it.
So wait. It's like a bowl.
It's like a, I wonder if I have a photo of
it. It looks like one of those automatic, you know those things that you put biscuits in and they put their pour up and more biscuits comes out?
Yeah.
Except water's constantly flying through. It's just like a fish pond sort of thing, I guess. It's just a fish tank. It just,
keeps the water cycling around. Actually, there's a science behind it, and cats like moving water.
Yeah.
Why?
Because primarily they would drink a lot from streams because they wouldn't drink from still water because it was stagnant and might have disease in
it. Quite right.
So you'll dress your cat up in a tutu, Laura, but you're worried about it losing its primal urges.
The tutu was just to frighten Guppy because he had been away for a couple of months and he was concerned that the only person I was talking to in the house was the cat.
You purchased costumes for your cat, but you're worried about it drinking from still water because if it starts drinking from a bowl, it's going to lose its animal instinct.
Well, is this going to be me when I get a cat? Like, yes. I'm going to be one of these people going out and buying? Because how much is a fountain?
I was going to say how much
it was. $100
Oh, I'm not going. I'm not spending $100
Because
Guppy was furious. He's like,
I SHIT'd the bed when my wife got one of those bowls that you screw a soft drink thing into, and the more the cat drinks, the water keeps coming out of the soft drink bottle.
Have you got a cat?
I was like, yeah.
He doesn't like it though. It's an
What's your cat's name?
Anakin.
Anakin.
Well,
you gave it a terrible name.
I know, gave it a star. Well, I should have known it was going to go bad. Started out cute.
I'm not surprised though, and people would spend more on their cats. Like, you can get those cat climbing frames. And scratching poles, like they actually with tunnels and stuff.
Oh, we don't
have
the tunnels. We don't have the room.
But a scratching pole is just, you just wrap a bit of, you get a stick and you wrap a bit of carpet around it. You don't need to spend a lot of money on it.
No, but they're like multi-frame, multi-level.
This is what I'm worried about you, is you don't have any other sort of like financial outgoings. You know, like you don't have kids. You don't even have a car to drop money on. You're going to end up buying luxury things for this cat.
Momo steering wheels for my cat.
Yeah, you go to Thailand, Bali, and come back with some Momo accessories for your cat.
Sure.
What I'd like to know, though, from people listening, the most ridiculous pet accessory you have.
Are you trying to say that my drinking water fountain for my cat's ridiculous?
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you picked up on that. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would not be surprised.
I am just a good mum.
You've actually been quite an advert for the cat fountain, because I can imagine my mum listening, thinking that's a great idea.
It is a great idea because cats like moving water, and you don't want them to dehydrate. Certainly not in this Auckland weather. They're not used to it.
Summers.
They're from Christchurch, right? So they're a little bit rude anyway.
You're one of those people, too. You moved your cats.
Of course I moved
my cats.
I'd leave
mine behind.
They're my babies. They're my fur babies.
Okay, 0800 dials at him right now. 9696. What is the most expensive thing?
I know, I said ridiculous.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say whichever you wish to apply to it. Ridiculous / expensive thing you have bought your pet. Whether or not it was a toy or a water fountain.
It may have been expensive, but they are well hydrated throughout the day.
I will get a photo up on our Facebook page of this water fountain too.
I saw, I'll get a video of it tonight.
Okay.
I'll do you one better, I'll get a video of it.
Okay.
I thought it was a dog in a kid's car seat.
Yeah.
But this person told me it was an actually properly purchased dog car seat.
No.
It looked like a kid's car seat. It had a harness and had everything, but it was for their dog. Some text messages in on the subject. Someone said a cat collar camera. Now, that's one thing I'd be interested in, but my cat's never worn a collar, so he's not going to wear a collar with a camera hanging off it anymore. But they said that was really interesting to see what the cat did.
Remember that, I'll tell Laura about this, because there's a documentary, the BBC made it, called The Secret Life of Cats. And they put cameras on them and GPS trackers, and it just shows them going around this little village.
It was like a real letdown because cats aren't very good cameramen. Like, they were running and it was very jiggly. It was hard to watch. Made you feel sick, like the original Cloverfield.
They didn't have a steady cam.
Okay.
Yeah. Some other text messages of what people have purchased their dogs or cats or pets. Somebody said a walking leash, a walking harness and a leash.
Okay.
For a bearded dragon. So that's for a lizard, not a cat or a dog like you might normally have. Someone said, Karen Walker does dog collars and leashes. So for Christmas, my sister got my dog a $120 collar and leash from Karen Walker.
Whoa.
Another text in the very same vein. My wife bought a Karen Walker lead and leash with crystals on it and a crystal bone collar for our dog. I'm a builder. I have to take this friggin' dog into placemakers. They said, if you're going to bring your dog in, it has to be on a leash. And then I saw a dog without a leash one day. I said, well, how come that dog's not on the leash? And then the gig was up. They were only making me walk in on the leash because of the diamonds, so they could all laugh at me. And they had me on security camera.
It's very hard because we went into placemakers the other day, Laura, producer James. Mm. You've got to really up the bloke when you go in there.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem. I was a great bloke.
No,
I had to step it up.
Are you a handyman? Just on the placemakers thing.
I checked my Instagram. I made this bloody pirate game for my nephew's birthday. Fletch. Bloody handy with a hammer.
I'm going to have to just double check that with Fletch. Is he?
Who? Yeah, I always have to go around and drill holes in his wall because he's scared if he does it in the wrong place.
No, I've drilled holes without you.
Only after I've shown you like five times.
You just
how
wanted
to
use my drill because I've got a manly drill. Sophie, what did you splash out on a pet?
My sister gave it to me for Christmas, actually. It was one of those cat fountains.
Oh, so you've got one. You've got one.
Yeah, it didn't last long. We tried it for about a week, but it made us want to go to the toilet all the time.
Yes. I immediately walked into Ross Moss's house and the trickling water made me need to go wee.
Yeah, that's why I don't like fish tanks. They bubble away and you hear the water, don't you? Yeah, so you just like,
Well, no, you've got an insufficiently filled fish tank there. You're supposed to fill it right to the top.
Is that why they kept dying?
Yeah.
All right, hey, thanks, Sophie. Stephanie, what's the most ridiculous thing you've spent on an animal?
I bought my dog a $350 treadmill.
Wow. Why not just let them go outside or take them for a walk or something?
They don't like walking in the rain.
Fear. What? So fair.
Is it a human?
He comes ancestrally from a wolf. Little poodles doesn't like walking in the rain. Boo hoo.
Is it a human treadmill or a dog-sized treadmill?
It's a human treadmill.
Uh-huh. And do you have cute videos of them on the treadmill? Do they like using it?
Yeah.
What kind of dogs are they?
Wow.
I've got three. They're all mixed breeds.
Oh, okay. Big dogs.
Right. Wow. And so how often will you run the treadmill for them?
Every day.
Wow.
But it's not raining every day. Could you?
No, but they like to go on it.
This is a problem with feeding your cat food once. It will only eat the nice cat food. Now your dogs won't go outside to run.
Yeah.
No, they still like go for walks.
Right.
Just love the treadmill. Wow. Hey, thanks, Stephanie.
No problem.
Arvi, your mum's friend, how much does she splash out on her cat and for what?
It's about $120 to $150 a visit. It's got its own cat psychologist.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that because I know that cats can get, like, antidepressants and stuff.
Yeah.
What does a cat psychologist do? Just pat them and play with a catnip mouse?
It apparently, it communicates and reads its body language.
Oh, my God!
This is so good.
The cat's depressed.
That's some hippie in West Auckland who's having a laugh, charging that much money.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
What's the matter? Pat, that's $120. Thanks.
Done.
Your cat's depressed.
They're having a laugh, aren't they? Right. Thanks, Arvi.
Yeah. Quick couple of text messages. A $1,700 juicy couture dog bag to carry my Yorkshire Terrier to work in.
Oh, my God.
Somebody else said a gold-studded cat leash. My cat looked at it and walked away and refused to wear it. Terrible purchase. Our Chihuahua has a Peter Alexander jacket.
Oh, my God.
We have to buy our dog special nappies and human sanitary pads as it has a misshapen vagina.
So what, it just walks around with a...
What?
With a nappy on.
What just happened?
I don't know.
What just happened?
What?
I don't know.
Oh, my.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan's community notices.
Hello. Good morning and welcome to Community Notices, a segment of the show where we have a look at the weird postings on your local Facebook pages. It can be a community page, it can be a buy, sell, trade, it can be anything.
Yeah.
Any sort of page. Let's start with one of those buy, sell and trade pages.
Okay.
From Christchurch, where we are headed this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we're going to be destroying the old ice cream truck outside Morrison Cars. Lotha Street, apparently, is where that is happening. Emily writes, good morning, everyone. Admin, delete if you want, but I lost my phone yesterday morning moving rooms. It's on silent. I tried calling it with all the lights off.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great idea.
Smart. I never thought to do that.
Smart.
And get someone with super hearing if it's on vibrate.
Yeah, or feel. Mm. I was in your handbag all along. That's how 90% of my wife looking for her phone ends.
Hey, those bags are bottomless. Have you seen Mary Poppins? That's what's happening
there. She's got so many pockets in there.
There's a lot of pockets.
The bottom of the pocket had fallen out and it was inside the lining of the purse.
Well, you can't blame her for that.
It's where I'd keep my drugs if I had a handbag.
And if you did drugs.
So you'd imagine after phoning with the lights off, this person, she's a smart cookie, this Emily.
Yeah.
She's a smart cookie. Do any lovely people on here have any physics I could give a quick call to? She means psychics. I could give a quick call to, as I needed to leave for work really shortly. I'd be super stoked and grateful if I can find my phone before work. Many thanks. Of course, looking for a psychic.
People go, what does she need a physics for?
Yeah, what is a physics? This is not going to be help. Cause jumps in.
Yep.
One of the comments from Cause, short for Corey, but hey, Corey's a bit too formal. Call me Cause.
Call me Cause.
He says, it's outside in the garden. Emily says, oh my God, is it really? Thanks. 2 minutes later, not there either. Thanks, though.
Oh, that's as much help as you're going to get from a psychic as well, though, Emily, sadly.
Roddy Frost comments, how can you call a psychic if you don't have your phone?
Yes.
It's a very valid point.
It's a valid-ish point. So if any psychics or physics professors are listening and would have any idea where Emily's phone is, or maybe Emily, let us know if you found that phone. That'd be really great because you've got some physics professors like really rattling their brain as to where it could possibly be. Next from the Vic Deals page. Laura, this is one of the big ones. This is Victoria Central Wellington.
Oh, okay.
Vic Deals page. Parnes is getting rid of something. She says this is for free, getting rid of on behalf of, and I'll personally deliver it no extra cost. I'm giving away my mate's boyfriend who comes with a PS3 and no job. excellent couch warmer or dog rug, has no goals in life but to play Black Ops 24/7. Doesn't want to be a daddy as it interferes with his gaming life. Not in tidy condition, needs a lot of work done, perhaps a pot scrub for the feet, a toilet brush and a generous amount of toilet duck for the teeth, something I highly recommend. Need gone ASAP, doesn't have to be a good home, anything will do. If anybody's interested, ladies, gents or just slave traders.
Oh my God.
Holla.
That is a brilliant passag note.
Is this the new passag note?
Maybe, yeah.
A little bit brassed off.
Posting their stuff.
Yeah.
The new passag note.
It could be.
This from a actual community notice board.
Ooh,
Fresh
okay.
Choice.
Ooh. Okay.
You know, they have a little thing like you need someone to sweep up your leaves. It's like available to help out around the house. This one, probably not what you'd normally expect to see on a Fresh Choice customer service card. Professional fluffer looking for work, open to anything.
What's a fluffer? Like a movie porn fluffer.
A Spartacus fluffer.
So the person sent this in and said, surely this can't be the situation. I said, ring the number and find out. So they text them. Hello, what kind of fluffing do you exactly do? Could be interested. The reply reads, sorry, my services are on a strict need-to-know basis. Tell me your name and I may indulge. So it seems...
But naughty.
Yes. But now let's finish today's community notices on a feel good.
Okay.
Because I read this one and to be honest, a little misty eyed.
Yep. Aww. You are a dad though now, so you cry at everything.
Is that a thing? Is that a real thing? Do you just cry all the time?
I'm so
not
this is
expecting
a story.
To feel much emotion here, Laura, so brace yourself.
This is from the Upper Hutt community page.
Okay.
And this is about Dez. Dez is a wonderful 87-year-old gentleman who is a retired builder who handcrafts beautiful wooden toys and furniture for kids. Now he sells them outside Doris Nicholson Kindy in Upper Hutt. That's on Ferguson Drive. Most mornings he's there in his Suzuki Swift with a little handmade sign. And he's there from 8 till 11. Prices range. He doesn't have a cell phone or a computer and he doesn't have FPOS. So if you want to buy something, it's cash only. As a little aside, after his wife passed away, he didn't know how to cook. He'd always been looked after from the sun. When the sun came up to the sun went down.
You're notebooking us.
He told a friend that just before she passed, she'd shown him how to use the dishwasher but hadn't got around to showing him how to use the stove. So he eats a lot of frozen meals that are just defrosted, not actually cooked. So somebody said, why don't you go down and if you're looking to give your children something that's not only made to last, but it's made out of wood and you know it's going to be going to a good cause. So Dez is down there and he's selling some toys.
I feel awful.
This is the thing, it's community notices. We laugh at people who want physics to find their phone, but we're delivering a valuable service as well.
We need to go to Loha and see him and I'll teach him how to cook.
Apparently he has got heaps of wooden toys. He can't take all of them down because he's only got a Suzuki Swift. He can't carry the heavier stuff down. So if you go and see Dez and buy
out.
There's like little wooden wheelbarrows and there's little wooden cricket sets.
Oh, I love cricket.
Get that song. And Dez. Look at him. Are you ready? Are you ready for the clincher?
Okay.
There's Dez sitting in the open boot of the Suzuki Swift.
Oh, look at his little wee.
He's got a little weak. He's one of those old mates, and I mean, this is going to be lost. He takes a lot of pride in going out. Like he'd put, he's got his card in, his nice iron pants there.
Oh, yeah, and he'll have a driving jacket.
You really notebooked us there, boy.
I know, thank you.
Well, that was too much. In all seriousness,
if you're at Upper Hutt, go see Dez on Ferguson Drive.
Oh. I'm going to go to Lower Hutt just to see Dez.
I'm going all the way to Lower Upper Hutt. Upper Hutt.
Upper. Don't go lower.
Whoa, don't go lower.
Bletch, Vaughn, and Megan.
Quite a horrific story to come out overnight from St. Kent's, a private school in Auckland. Is it in Pakuranga?
Pakuranga, yes.
Yes. Mm. Now, there was a school production of what we understand was
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
The demon barber of Fleet Street.
Yeah, so he's a barber and there are knives.
So he cuts here, then he cuts throats.
And then Helen Bonham Carter, Helena Bonham Carter got there in the end because it was a Tim Burton movie, so of course it had Johnny Depp.
And his wife.
Helena Bonham Carter
in it. Yeah, of course it did, yeah.
And she makes them into pies downstairs. He pulls a trapdoor. They go into the pie machine.
So it's quite a horrific that you'd imagine the stage show would be gruesome. Yes.
Even for a high school to do, yeah. Sweeney Todd.
That's a strange one.
Last night at 9 o'clock, St. John's were called to the school because two students and one still in a, I believe, serious condition, apparently the school will make a statement soon, had their throats cut.
Why would you use a real knife? Like, sure, we got pranked the other day at April Fool's with the real knife. Like, why would they use a real knife? In a production, in a play, a school play with young men, why would you use a real blade?
Because you've done a lot of acting.
I have. I am an actor.
And what would they normally use in a situation like this? A blunt knife or a knife that retracts?
You wouldn't even use it. You wouldn't even use a real knife.
In the Sweeney Todd, he shaves them. It's one of those switch throat
blades. But you'd use a fake one, wouldn't you?
You'd 100% use a fake one, plastic one. You could still get them to look real.
Well, this might have been steel, but bluntened, but you know, they don't know. Maybe it was just.
Whoa, that is
it's
my
just
worst
not real. But what's the guy doing pushing so hard? The guy who's playing Sweeney Todd, what the hell is he doing?
And why did he do the second one?
Why are there two?
Well, maybe they were at the same time.
No, I don't think two people die at one
is
time.
Is there? Oh, my God, it's horrific, isn't it? Just to even think about
imagine
it.
Imagine your parents.
Didn't you go to the school, James, the producer? You went a bit to St. Kent's, didn't you?
Yeah, to the prep one, yeah.
That's the intermediate one.
The one in Oraki.
What? I don't get it. What's a prep one? What are they prepping you for school for? That's kindergarten.
Like, it was just the prep. It was like the school before you go to what do you call that one?
Primary school.
Yeah.
You just call it St. Kent's Primary.
You're brought up so rich, you don't know what a primary school is.
No, I do know what it is. I just couldn't think of the word, you dick.
Oh no, it's a preparatory school.
Is your name up on the ex alumni of people that have done well?
God no.
Because he went kidding? To didn't you then go to Glendowie or something?
Yeah, I went to St. Kent's and then I went to. No. Yeah,
classic riches to rags story there.
It is really.
Yeah, but look how well it turned out.
Cinderella story.
After the people started pirating CDs and the Marbex music name just fell down the rich list. Sorry, James, we can't afford to send you to the fool school. No more, you've got to go to Glendowie.
We've actually been to St. Kent's to speak to the students, and it's a lovely
it's
school.
It's ridiculous.
We got driven in a golf cart to the hall.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's we went to reception, and we signed our names in, and it printed us out little tags.
Yep.
And ran us a quick check through the register. Both got thumbs up on that one. Lovely. And then they came and picked us up in a golf cart.
And lovely stuff in students. So it's quite horrific. So thoughts with the students, because that's a horrific thing.
Oh, horrendous.
And terrible.
Next time, maybe do Greece.
Yeah, or just maybe look.
Make a real car and they'll run someone over with it.
I just think maybe look at who's running the props department.
Yes.
And let's just run through.
Making it look very realistic.
Exactly. I guess that's what you're after, isn't it?
Look at the way the blood came out.
Yeah.
Here's a text message.
Okay.
When we were doing Macbeth, the old thing about doing Macbeth is you can never say Macbeth.
So what, someone's just texted us in?
Yeah, someone just texted message this in. When we were doing the school production of Macbeth, somebody removed the protective sleeves off the knives and two people got sliced quite badly.
So it's happened before.
So the knife slips in something, doesn't it? And it makes it look like a knife without being a knife. But then just get a handle and stick the handle to the protective sheath.
Macbeth has one of the hardest lines in theatre in the whole world. It's blood, blood, blood. It's the weirdest.
Blood, line. Blood, blood. I just did it.
Yeah, blood, blood, damn spot. Blood, blood, blood.
Oh, you did a great job.
Blood,
great job.
Blood, 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 blood. Horatio, for I knew him well.
Wow.
You know when he holds up the skull, is that Macbeth?
Hamlet, isn't it?
Through yonder window breaks, to the east is the sun and to the west is Macbeth.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
Fact of the day.
day, day.
Blood!
Blood!
Blood! Blood off Mount Damspot out!
I'd be so good at acting, I reckon.
Shit, that's the thing. You can't overact a Shakespeare.
You can't. They love a little over the top in a Shakespeare.
The what?
In a Shakespeare, they love a bit over the top.
Over the top, over the top. Mm. Yeah, well,
they've come to the right place.
You have.
Today's fact of the day is about Saddam Hussein.
Oh, good.
Why?
Remember Saddam Hussein?
Okay, yes, I do, yeah.
They found him in a spider hole.
They did, yeah. And then they
hung him.
Hanged him.
Yeah. Hanged him.
Hanged him good.
Because every time they say that, I'm like...
I say they hung him, but they didn't. They hanged.
He was hanged. Yeah.
He was hanged. Today's fact of the day about Saddam Hussein is he could eat a family-sized bag of Doritos in 10 minutes.
Why?
That's quite Moorish.
Here's your thing about your Doritos. Gone. Like, I reckon more Moorish than a Pringle.
How did they know this? And didn't they despise the Western world? Like, if you hate the West, don't buy Doritos.
So, here's the story. These guys that guarded him when he was caught did this big tell-all interview, and they were asked all about Saddam Hussein and what he was like. Loved Raisin Bran for breakfast. Started every day with Raisin Bran.
Okay. So
he was a little bran in the diet.
He was regular.
Washed his dishes. Big on doing his own dishes. And his favourite food was Cheetos. And they were trying to keep him comfortable.
Yeah.
Which I think is admirable in sorts. They had him. I mean, he was no further risk to them. So they were trying to keep him comfortable, and they'd buy him Cheetos. And one day there was no Cheetos.
So Cheetos are like, are they like
Cheetos
rations?
Cheetos are like a straight ration.
Or Twisties.
Right.
Okay. Maybe a slightly harder straight ration. So imagine getting a ration there and having the ability to straighten it out and make it slightly smaller.
There is a chip like that, and I don't know what it's called, but I've had one like that.
No, what's a muncho?
No,
they were almost like a Papa Jack.
Yeah. Got it.
Papa Jack. Okay. They were a better Papa Jack, because Papa Jack came in original and chicken, and that was all. That's right.
Still blows my mind when people buy ready salted like potato chips.
Yeah,
are you that boring? Yeah. Like, I don't care if you're dipping them. Get a salt and vinegar at least.
And that's what they say. I like a neutral chip for the dip. I'm like, no, it's got to be about the chip and the dip. It's a combo. You're putting too much pressure on the dip to be the upholding part of the snack.
Okay. So there was no Cheetos.
Yep. There was no Cheetos. One of the guards was like, geez, I guess the closest thing is these Doritos. And they took them home.
Close to it.
Well, it was all the shop
corn, they're corn, though. They're corn-based. Corn yeah.
Corn-based.
And apparently Saddam bloody loved them. And he'd polish off a family-sized bag in 10 minutes. And he'd
okay.
Big on licking his fingers after.
Was he?
Yeah. And then he'd wash. He was a very clean man, they said.
Okay, wow.
Some other things they learned about Saddam Hussein in their time.
Yeah.
They just got talking to him, and Saddam asked them if they wanted advice on women. And they said, sure, I guess so. And he said, you got to find a good woman.
Yep.
Not too smart, not too dumb. Not too old, not too young. One that can cook and clean. And then he made gestures of spanking and then gave them a thumbs up. And that was their rounded off advice from Saddam Hussein.
When you're a Middle Eastern dictator, you just get any woman you want. Otherwise, they'll probably end up dead or their family will be killed. So
yeah, I mean, they sleep with you a couple of times. They get a bronze statue. They deny you the first time. They end up dead. It's very like...
Yeah, I don't think he's really one to be for advice. Yeah,
very quick.
Okay.
So there's a couple of little facts about Saddam Hussein to take away today. But today's main fact of the day is Saddam Hussein regularly ate a family-sized bag of Doritos in 10 minutes.
Fact of the day! Day.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
We get a bit of mail here at work. For example, right now we're wearing an orange beanie that
did someone send you that?
Yeah,
so you didn't pay
who are like, ski season's coming up, buy your early bird passes, here's a beanie. And so I put it on and James was like, Vaughan, that beanie is abhorrently bright, so now I'm not taking it off, just to spite James. Every time you see me, I'll be in an orange beanie.
That's going to clash with your swan dress.
Oh, yeah, I know. Awfully. But
I don't think you like the beanie. It's just that it's annoying James.
I didn't really. And then James said he despised it, so now I'm wearing it forever.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's how this works. But This mail has arrived, and this is interesting because a while ago on our Facebook page, a young man called Sean messaged in. He says, I'm 14 years old. I live in Alexandria in the South Island, and I love making stuff. And then
ZM doesn't even broadcast into Alex, does it? No. Lovely part of the country.
So and then he sends photos of all these things he's made. If you're familiar with the video game series Halo, he made a Master Chief helmet. He's made, like, weapons. He made his own, not actual working weapons. He's not like making
toys.
Pipe bombs and stuff.
Okay.
He made, if you've seen the second Avengers, you know when Iron Man fights Incredible Hulk and he gets the Hulkbuster suit? Look, he made his own Hulkbuster suit. There's a photo of it.
Oh my God. That's very good.
I know.
And he's 14.
I know. And he made stuff and he said...
What were you doing when you were 14, Laura?
Not that. I tell you, I was eating, I think.
Ah, yes,
so was I.
I don't think I was doing much.
Yeah. A lot of pick and mix lollies.
Lots of lollies.
Yeah.
Like, lots of just time wasting. But this young guy's inventing and he sent us a pack.
What's in that?
Are you going to open it?
Well, he's just, and this is another thing, he just didn't send a box. He got a box and he painted it grey and then put, like, foam on it to make it look like a lockbox.
He is the coolest 14-year-old in the world.
I know. He's going to end up working in props for, like, Peter Jackson
or something.
Totally. Hey, he could have helped out that bloody Sweeney Todd thing for St. Ken's.
Well, he would have made him a far less sharper knife. Look at this.
Oh my God.
He's made, dear FEMZM, sorry, this is Megan's. Laura, don't take that personally. sorry this took so long to arrive. I made everything myself. If you ever want anything else made, just let me ask. And he made his own wax seal with our
that is so neat. Thank you so much, Sean.
Message me on Facebook if you have any questions. And a shout out to Harry Johnston. So, this is what he's got. What is it?
He's really tapped into Vaughan's inner nerd here.
He made Fletch a felt cat and he sewed that himself. Look. He didn't just buy a soft toy cat. There you go. And this all came in one of those, you know, where you cut the shapes of guns out.
So talented, like actually making me feel
he's made me a lightsaber and you can see the crystal that's needed. Because Jedis have to make their own
lightsabers. Very cool. It's making me feel like I don't do enough with my spare time. Like, I don't do enough hobby stuff.
What am I doing with my life?
What a wonderful time to point people towards something, crafts I've been working on. And a book for Megan's life hacks to keep it in it so she can actually keep a diary of her life hacks. To point people, I've done crafts.
Okay,
yeah. Mind you, I'm 20 years older than this kid. And Minecraft, not as good as this.
No.
But I've been crafting.
What have you been
crafting? I got back into my craft. Well, my nephew's birthday, he's having a pirate-themed birthday party. And his mum's like, do you reckon you could like chuck together something that's like a hoop game where you chuck hoops over a pirate's hook?
Mm.
And I made it out of pallets to make it look like it was a bit of a ship cut out.
Can I name your game? Pirate Hookers.
It's called Captain Hook's Ring Toss.
That sounds way worse than Pirate Hookers.
Captain Hook's Ring.
Ring Toss.
Yeah, brilliant.
Captain Hook, because he's got
Captain
a hook.
Hook's
it looks
ring
like his
toss.
Hand.
Brilliant.
Nice. I didn't know. Yay for craft.
Thank you to Sean
for sending in some
great listener mail. That's just lovely.
I've got a lightsaber now.
You've really made Vaughan's
day. You be careful with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't. Batteries are out. Sean, can you send me the batteries? Because I don't have any lightsaber batteries. What are you? Oh, never look into the end of a lightsaber. I was looking into the end of it. I was like, don't look in there.
The Fletch, Vaughan and Megan podcast.
Good luck to Jason PJ this afternoon, who start the 25-hour hug.
Have their respective partners sort of signed off on that?
Why did they do it? Did they have to?
why? These are the questions we have. Like, this is going to be full on.
So many questions from a lazy radio show. what are you doing that for?
It's a lot of effort, isn't it? It's like,
much effort.
It's 25 on them. 25 hours of hugging. Luckily the partners are down with this. This afternoon it all kicks off. So good luck.
Okay. Power to them.
It's time for last calls, segment of the show where you just call in, tell us an amazing yarn, and you could be winning something. Today it's Mont Blanc.
Yeah.
Mont
Blanc. We're going to start today with Hayley. Hayley, what happened?
Okay, so I was about 23 and living at my dad's at the time. Now, he used to leave me to myself, you know, my bedroom wouldn't come in, wouldn't do anything in my room.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, your daggers are your privacy. That's to be respected.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So one day I came home, said hi. He was a bit weird, and I went into my room. And I see that he had stripped my bed.
Uh-oh.
And to make matters worse, in my bed I had a sex toy. And lying next to the sex toy, I had this nice wee silk case that it lives in.
I know.
And much to my disgust, my sex toy was back in its case, just sitting on my bare bed.
He put it in the case.
He touched it.
Put it in the case.
So he touched it.
So you're like, one, oh, no. He knows about it. That's embarrassing enough. Two, he's touched it. That's so super embarrassing.
Also, he hadn't put it back in its case.
Also stoked, though, that he made the bed and cleaned the sheets, though, right? Yeah. That's something you didn't have to do.
At least of your concerns at this
point. It's safe to say I didn't see him for the rest of the night.
Did it ever get bought up?
Nope, I didn't leave my bedroom. The next day went to work and we both just avoided it.
That sounds like a good idea.
How long ago was this, Hayley?
So this was about 2 years ago.
Wow.
And it's never been talked about since?
Never been talked about with him, and I never will. It's mortifying.
Like wow. Okay, Hayley, wait there. We're going to vote in just a sec. We're going to go to Emma. What's the story for last calls today, Emma?
Hey, so my friend was travelling in Thailand a few years ago and was doing a bit of a pub crawl.
Yep.
And at the end of the pub call, realised that she had, it was that time of the month, and realised that she had a wee tampon issue. So she went to the doctors in the, you know,
in Thailand,
to see if they could, you know, help her locate what was going on.
Locate the issue.
That's quite
so in the dingy little doctor's surgery, she was trying to explain to all these Thai doctors and nurses that more and more kept on entering the room to try and understand what she was trying to say. None of them spoke English. So she was just surrounded by all these people just trying to understand what she was, you know, hand signalling and trying to work out.
That would be the most embarrassing thing in the world. And eventually did she find a doctor that spoke English?
Well, eventually they worked out, they managed to sort of, you know, draw a picture or managed to communicate across to them what was going on and worked out what was happening.
Imagine playing charades and that's the answer.
That's like adult Pictionary, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Do you know, I had a couple of friends, a gay couple that are friends, and they were travelling in...
Are they a couple?
They're together.
Oh, right.
They were travelling in, I think it was like somewhere in Europe, might have been Italy. And anyway, they had a threesome and got something dodgy. and had to go into a hospital and explain to the doctors that didn't speak English that there was like some itchy, rashy stuff going on.
It's a bit of jam.
Do you know what they did? They got like the Google Translate app and translated
and
it.
Spoke into it.
And showed them. And that's how they got around it. And like they told me that like they can laugh about it now, but at the time, quite horrific. funny though, eh?
Quite horrific hearing it secondhand as well.
That's
hot and heavy.
I almost want to type something into Google Translate now and press the Italian.
I've used it when I've been overseas the last few years. It's so good because you can actually speak into it and then it will translate it.
But does it lose? Is anything lost in translation? I'm always worried that...
I don't know if I've still got it on my phone. I do have it on my phone.
Yeah.
So I can go from English to Spanish and you can press the mic.
Yeah.
And so I'll try it now.
Okay.
Allow to use the microphone.
Yeah.
Hello, I am a cat. And then we'll see...
Go on.
Oh, yeah, so it's translated it, but it's not going to speak it out. It's not going to speak it out.
That's a shame. I'm just trying to get here. This is what it would have sounded like when they went to the doctors in Italy.
Oh, God, okay.
Oh, le palle prurito.
That's I have itchy balls.
Good.
Oh, le palle prurito.
Oh, le palle. It sounds like, oh, le mole burritos.
That could be on an ad for some kind of Italian food, and it sounds sexy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh, le palle prurito.
All right, time to vote now for a winner. God, I don't know. They're both great stories.
Both terribly inappropriate for 8-9.
Terribly inappropriate
for any
time.
Can we vote for your story today?
Yeah, your story was
your story was quite an eye-opener.
Well, I might need to give them a bottle of fragrance after talking about their sexual issues on air.
You didn't.
Might need to mend that friendship.
You didn't.
This is luckily they live in Australia.
Oh, yeah, no, you're narrowing it down now.
Narrowing it down a smidge.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, she is a close one. A vote for Hayley and her dad finding an adult fun toy and putting it back in its silk purse and popping it back on the nightstand. One vote for Emma's horrendous story of hygiene. And the winner of today's Last Calls is Hayley. Congratulations, Hayley. The embarrassment with Dad was all worth it.
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, listen from 6 on ZM.
And check them out on Facebook.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.